Good morning. Today's reading is the same, but different. So, John 14 again, but I'm reading from the Message translation. Bear with me, it's quite a small print, this one. Okay. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets the Father apart from me. If you already knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. Philip said, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I am in the Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on the way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do.
Our next reading is taken from Acts chapter 9. And the reason for having this is because partly it's about the way that Saul persecuted the Christians, but because it also mentions the fact that Jesus' followers were described as following the way. I'll come on to that in a little bit. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city. You'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come, and he's placed his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man, and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from your chief priests to arrest all who come in your call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Paul persecuted the Christians with great zeal and with great vigor. And Jesus intervenes. Evidently, more arguments were created by map reading between spouses in the car than any other subject than money. A few nods around the house. Evidently, men would be very reluctant to ask directions, if you can believe that. This has changed with the advent of sat-nav, and now we just argue with the computer. In life, Jesus does not simply teach the way or point the way or give us a map. He is the way. Without truth and life, Jesus cannot be the way, which is why I place this sermon last. It's the most important part of those three triumphant declarations by Jesus of who he was. In fact, the way was one of the early names, as I said, for the early Christian faith. In Acts, book of Acts, we have it in 9:2, 19:9, verse 23, 22:4, 24:14, and 22. All these examples of Jesus saying, or of the people saying, we are belong to the way, and the way is Jesus. Our Lord's statement, no man can come to the Father but by me, wipes away any other proposed way to heaven. No good works, a righteous life, a religious ceremony, costly gifts, sacrifices, etc. All these things are useless because Jesus says he is the way, the only way, and that is the only way is Jesus Christ to the Father. In a world full of paths, choices, voices, and philosophies, badgering our ears, bouncing around in our minds, he himself is the way, the giving of peace. Not merely a guide, not merely a teacher of the way, but the way itself. Jesus says he is the way. To understand what this means for our lives, we look at Jesus revealed in Scripture and reflected in the rhythms of his early ministry, a Jesus who went, stayed, and who delivered, who was the one and only way. And there's several ways I want us to think about this. And firstly, I want to say, Jesus is the way who comes to us. Before we ever walk towards him, Jesus walked towards us. In Luke 5, Jesus doesn't wait in the synagogue teaching and waiting for the disciples to come to him. He goes to the lakeshore to working men in the midst of their ordinary labor. And if our church is to grow, it's no good us waiting for people to come in through the door. Although that has happened in the past and God has blessed us with people who have joined us, become members and been baptized through coming through the door. We need to be out there. We need to be part of what is about. Jesus steps into Simon's boat. He steps into Simon's world. He walked among the people. He got to know them. Got his hands dirty. That was the Jesus that we follow. And this is the heart of the gospel. God comes down the road to us before we ever take a step towards him. He is the way precisely because he meets us where we are. No matter the path we've walked, whether we've walked a crooked path, a weary path, a wounded path, Jesus begins the journey at our present point of need. And our testimonies, when we share them with other people, is about how God found us, not how we found God. Jesus comes to us. There is no room for boasting, no room for self-glorification, no room for how I was in a bad place, but then I found God and everything was all right. It's about God finding us. It's all of Jesus. And then we have Jesus is the way that walks with us. Jesus doesn't merely call us to follow, he invites us into a relationship. And that's what puts Jesus, that's what puts Christianity above other religions. It's not about religion, it's not about acts of worship, it's not about acts of religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Jesus stayed, he lived with these people, he shared their lives. We don't have much about Martha, Mary and Lazarus, but we know that Jesus shared his life with them and stayed with them and became friends with them, as he did with friends with sinners and tax collectors. He is, as he says later, and we'll come to this later, the good shepherd who doesn't shout directions from a distance but walks beside his sheep. Now, if you've seen One Man and His Dog, I know it's not on anymore, but you'll know that there's the shepherd stands in one part of the field and he guides the dog by shouting, "Come by." See, I've even got the accent. "Come by," and "down," and "go," and whatever. Well, with the shepherds of the New Testament times, they didn't have dogs that obeyed them. Instead, they would lead the way, and the sheep, out of love and out of knowing security, would follow the shepherd. And that's how Jesus is the good shepherd. In joy, he celebrates with us. In sorrow, he sits with us. In confusion, he guides us patiently. To know Jesus is not to subscribe to a path, it's to walk a path with a person. To follow the way is to share life with the one who is both the destination and the companion. He is the way. When walking in mountains, it's not a good idea to go on your own. We need an experienced companion with us. Because if one person falls into trouble, the other can help them or indeed go off and find help to get them rescued from the mountain. Jesus, through his teaching, describes himself as being our walking companion, the one who walks by our side. He is skilled at life and able to guide us and be with us as we walk through life. Jesus, the one who walks with us. And then Jesus is the one who leads us in the way and purpose. People are always looking for a change of life. On my day off this week, I just looked through the TV schedule and I found this. Changing rooms. Homes under the hammer. Location, location, location. Homes in the country. New life in the sun. Bargain Brits in the sun. See a pattern? People want to leave. People want to leave their lives as they are and go into a new purpose, all looking for a new way of living. In Luke 5, Jesus provides a miraculous catch of fish, not merely as an act of compassion, but as a doorway into calling. Jesus delivered not just to provide a good income, he had an eternal agenda. And this is the way because he leads us from emptiness into meaning. From aimlessness into discipleship. From merely surviving to truly living. I remember reading my mum's diary after she died of what life was like after my dad had died and she was on her own. And she wrote in her diary that she wanted to move from merely surviving to living. And I understood what that meant. Not just making each day follow each other, but actually making life important and worthwhile. Jesus doesn't show the way out. He shows the way forward from life that is merely existence into life worth living. And Jesus is also the way that brings us to the Father. Ultimately, Jesus is the way because he alone bridges the gap between heaven and earth. Like the ladder that Jacob saw that showed the passage between heaven and earth. His claim in John 14 verse 6 is both exclusive and inclusive. Exclusive because no other roads lead to the Father. Now, some cults have said that Jesus was the way to the Father, but not the way to God, as though the Father and God were separate entities. But the whole of the scriptures tell us, Old Testament and New Testament tell us, that the Father is God and Jesus is the way to God. And the only way to the Father is through him. Through his cross, Jesus removed every barrier, sin, shame, fear, and opens a new way, living way. Hebrews 10 verse 20. The way is not earned, the way is not learned, the way is received by faith in Christ. So in conclusion, Jesus is the way to walk with the Father. What does it mean for us today to proclaim and live out Jesus the way? It means going where the people are, just like Jesus went. I've said it before, but there's a meme on the internet where it shows a picture of a church door going outwards and it says you are entering a place of worship on the way out. Jesus is the way means that we go where people are, we serve people where they are, and we live like Jesus, loving and caring for the way to walk with the Father. To stay, to be present with people's lives with integrity, just as Jesus stayed. He helped people in times of need. He didn't just lay hands on them and then disappeared. He spoke to them. He taught them. He gave them a way to forward. So we need to be those people who stay in times of difficulty and not give up on others. To deliver grace and truth and hope, just as Jesus delivered purpose. So a final invitation of these three words, which we've heard a lot of in the last 3 weeks. If you feel lost, Jesus is the way. If you're confused, Jesus is the truth. If you feel empty, Jesus is the life. We walk with him today. We follow him anew. Let him lead you home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are giving us the way to you through Jesus. That we need not be lost or alone, confused or frightened, terrified by the things of the world. These things are unnecessary if we walk with you. We pray, Lord, that we might be those who walk closely with you, following the pattern of Jesus, following the way that he laid down for us, and that we too may be like the early disciples and be people of the way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.